Howard, Gordon to the plate. The throw is safe at the plate. The Royals have taken the lead.
There's a long drive down the left field line, way back in left, and gone, a home run. Oh, it just curved by the foul
sure
pole.
Did.
Fair or foul was the only question, and Upton kept it fair. Home run number 10 gives the Tigers a 1-0 lead in the second. The 3-2 swing, and Adamon strikes a little pump at Boyd.
Fastball right by.
If that's the end of his night, it's a heck of a way to end it. The 3-2 runner goes, swing and a miss, throw down to second base, and they got him! Strike him out, throw him out to end the game!
Welcome to the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Welcome indeed to the Extravaganza right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. We are Toledo's sports leader, so things get a little bit more interesting, at least for a day. In the American League Central, the little montage there should have told you that. The Cleveland Indians blow a tremendous start, and the 2-0 lead for Corey Kluber into the eighth when he gets lifted with some physical issues, and then the bullpen just goes all Tigers on them. Their bullpen just implodes. They lose to the Royals, so the Indians lose a game of their lead on the Royals, but for the Tigers' sake, the Indians lose a game to the Tigers, which is a little bit more impactful considering that is the closer race in the American League Central. The Tigers now 5.5 back after that tremendous win for Detroit yesterday. So we'll start there, even though we're probably going to talk a little less baseball than maybe the open would indicate, because we have a lot of other things that we are going to get into this afternoon right here on the Extravaganza. Bob France with you. Jim Cushlin as well. Jim Cushlin, of course, puts together the montage for us. So thank you very much for that, Cush. Jim, did you see the Michigan rap video yet?
I took a glance at it.
I don't know who Bailey is. Do you know who Bailey is?
I don't really remember off the top of my head.
Yesterday, you know, we're just kind of messing around a little bit, and we're playing the Marky Mark stuff and Good
Way
Vibrations.
Too much fun with that.
We did. We had a lot of fun with that. And there was a reason for it, of course. Somebody had a story about Mark Wahlberg's HBO show Ballers. If you missed our show yesterday, you missed a lot of fun.
It's up on the site on the podcast site, so check it out.
There it is. That's right. Absolutely. Every day, every show is podcasted up at 1065theticket.com. Anyway, Mark Wahlberg has the HBO show Ballers, obviously, that he produces. And there was an accusation that he... made Wahlberg that Roger Goodell and the league owners don't like the show and called him to say don't do it. And the league denied that, and somebody wrote it in a story for the New York Daily News basically saying there's some bad vibrations between the NFL and Mark Wahlberg, which of course prompted the good vibrations set. This is different. I don't know who Bailey is. I've never heard of Bailey.
He's a Bay Area based rapper.
Bay Area as in, yep. San Francisco,
yep.
Bay?
Yep.
Well, then what is his connection with Go Blue?
What is Harbaugh with San Francisco?
What's
Harbaugh from the San Francisco days?
Yeah, but whatever. I mean, okay.
Here, I have one of the various stories that somebody wrote
so
up on
Harbaugh
it.
Harbaugh worked for a short while in San Francisco as the Stanford coach, you know, in the Bay Area, as the Stanford coach and then the Niners coach, but he's not from there.
Right.
Bailey's not from Michigan.
Right.
Harbaugh's back home. Oh, Harbaugh's technically from Toledo, but, you know, Harbaugh's back home in his alma mater in Michigan, and yet the Bay Area guy does this. At any rate, this rap, all I know is I saw a headline or a tweet or whatever it was earlier today that said Harbaugh featured in, Harbaugh stars in Michigan-themed rap video. I didn't need to know the backstory. I didn't need to know who Bailey was. I really didn't need, I mean, I'm curious now, and we'll look into it, and you just gave me
basically
an idea where it's from.
Basically, the current thing with Harbaugh in this is kind of a remix, because this Bailey guy did one of them when Harbaugh was there. It was something that had to do with the 2011 Niners, and they had a Who's Got It Better slogan or something.
Right,
yeah.
So he just wanted to reprise it,
basically,
I guess.
Yes.
Because this dude is unknown, and he's trying to capitalize on Harbaugh's popularity, I guess.
That'd be my guess, too.
But Harbaugh... The words Harbaugh and featured and rap video all together mean must watch and must post and must share. So I did the first and I did the second, and just now before the show started, I did the third. It's on our Twitter feed and it's on our Facebook page. So on Twitter, follow us at Sports Radio 106.5, and on Facebook, like the page at 106.5 The Ticket, where you will see 2 minutes and 32 seconds of Jim Harbaugh awesomeness. Or you will see two minutes and 32 seconds of dripping cheese. What do you, and you just have to decide, is this cool? Is this an epic tribute to the Wolverines coach and the Wolverines football program? Or is this just all kind of cheesy and embarrassing? You decide for yourself. You're going to have to watch the video, but I can provide you with the audio. And you know what? By golly, I think that's exactly what I'm going to do. And it's not very loud right now. Let's see if we can try this again. One, two, three, four. One more time. Yeah, here we go.
Who's got it better than us? Nobody! Who's got it better than us? Nobody!
Okay, given that we are 31 seconds in and all we have heard thus far is who's got it better than us, nobody, I'm on cheese thus far. I'm going with the cheese factor, but there are still 2 minutes to go.
Who's got it better than us? Nobody.
Who got it better? Nobody. To the field from the tailgate potters. Let's go blue, yeah, the home team. This the big house, Michigan Wolverines. If it ain't real, it ain't right. If you can't take a hit, take a hike. The legendary Big Ten champ said right. Bo Schembechler motivated the might. Force so strong, it's on Saturday nights. Howard, Woodson, Brady took it to heights. Let's ball. Hail to the victors, that's above all. I got one question. Tell them all, ball.
Okay, I got to tell you, when you see this now and it's kicked in to Harbaugh being the one, big red face screaming into the camera, and he's the one screaming, who's got it better than us? It just became a little more awesome.
Who's got it better than us? Who's got it better than us? Who's got it better than us?
Yeah, that's right. Maize and blue, that's all I see. Rubber team in the B.I.G.
Wolverines.
Block him on the beanie, I'm Bailey. Known for kicking it off like Feely. Follow while I ball like Weber. Bro, Shawan, get the bad vibe together. Go hard or go home. Trying to get to the national ship in the Rose Bowl. They gon' hit from start to finish. The M Club is with it and Chunk Man the image. We ready right now, you want it, then come and get it. Winged helmets, everybody is hit. Go blue, go blue. Taking up a notch, we supposed to. Any haters in the way, we gotta go through. I ain't got a question, but the coach do.
Harbaugh in the convertible on that one, by the way. Just and they got Jabril Peppers on the sidelines doing some kind of a dance that, I mean, it's from a game last year. They just timed it up and matched up the beat with the song, which I got to give them a lot of credit on. Looked like it was made for it. That was perfect. Oh, and then it just ends very abruptly like that. Bailey is the name of the rapper. Who's Got It Better Than Us, in case you couldn't figure that out, is the name of the song. And it is apparently Bailey performed this during Michigan's spring game, which I did not know. Now, Cushlin, you said he did something like this for Harbaugh when he was in the Bay?
Yeah.
With who, Stanford or the Niners?
Niners.
And you have that? I got to see that.
I just saw it a few minutes ago.
You can't tease us with that and not have it. We need to see the San Francisco version of Bailey and Harbaugh teaming up for Who's Got It Better Than Us. I got to ask you, do you like it? If you're a Michigan fan, do you like it? You got to see the video. I can't do it justice. Obviously, I can try to describe on the radio, but if you have a device, don't do it while you're driving. If you're on your way home from work or wherever, don't do it while you're driving, okay? But if you've got a device, if you've got an iPod or something, we put it on, or an iPhone, I mean, we put it on our webpage, or excuse me, our Facebook page and our Twitter feed. So make sure you check it out. In fact, we'll add a poll up there, too, whether or not it's awesome or it's just cheesy and annoying. Tell us what you think. I got to admit, I think it's cheesy, but I think it's awesome at the same time. And well, you might have to, I might have to put three choices up there on the Twitter poll. It might have to be both, because it is extraordinarily cheesy. I don't know that I could see Urban Meyer doing this. I don't know that I could see Nick Saban doing this. I don't know that I could see Mark D'Antonio doing this. I don't know if I could see Brian Kelly doing this. But I can sure as hell see Jim Harbaugh doing it, because I just did. He's doing it, and he's getting his boys psyched. And probably, I got to admit, the rap's not bad. He works in Schembechler, Brady, Woodson, Howard, some of the greats in Michigan history. He works in, you know, Big Ten championships, Rose Bowls, et cetera, et cetera. It's, I got to admit, it is cheesy, but it's pretty awesome. It's kind of like that stupid song yesterday, Cushlin.
Yeah.
It's kind of like yesterday.
No, I'm kind of with you. It's cheesy, but it's a little catchy, and I can't help but laugh. I mean, this is the kind of stuff at this point we should be coming to expect from Harbaugh. I mean, if it's anything normal, then I won't be expecting him to do it, honestly.
All right. All right. There it is. While you spoke, I found what we were talking about, Jim.
Okay.
The San Francisco 49ers version, is it the same tune? Is it the same exact thing?
Well, it's got to be. Yeah, it's more or less the same type of tune. I was just listening to it a second ago. There's actually no shots of Harbaugh in it. It's all like crowd shots and things like that.
All right, hold on. Here we go. This is the Niners version. Bay Area rapper Bailey. This looks like it's from
2011.
Okay.
Yep.
2011. This was a Bay Area version of this. I guess the original version. They went ahead and remade this. Here's what I want to know as they continue to scream here at the beginning. Do you think Harbaugh went to Bailey and said, hey, you got to do one for me now at Michigan? Or Bailey went to Harbaugh and said, yo, bro, can I hook you up there at Michigan?
That is a great question, honestly. To the field from the tailgate party. SFC, yeah, we still G's, but we crushing and hitting that damn thing. If it ain't real, it ain't right. If you can't take a hit, take a hike. The legendary Super Bowl champ said right. A classic connection, Montana to Rice. Field motor section, mission to Diamond Heights. Bayview District, Sunday and Monday nights. That's ball. If the Niners on y'all, that's the right call. I got one question. Tell them, Harbaugh.
Oh, they do feature a little Harbaugh there, but not doing this, not screaming at the camera. He was breaking a huddle, you know, a big team huddle, like with a last second rah-rah,
okay, yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, I see it now.
From the back of his head, so you can't see what he actually said there, but they tried to, you know, match it up with the
right
beat as if he was yelling that. Back at it, what's this I see? Hardest team in the NFC. Niners. Yeah, I see all the haters. I'm Bailey, known for kicking it off like Acres. Follow while I ball like Smith. Justin, Alex are out and take your pick. 49, go time. With a forever faithful Frank Gore grind. They gon' hit from start to finish. Ain't talking beats and lyrics, I'm talking Bowman and Willis. We ready right now to sit. What is it? When Ted starts sprinting, it really is no contention. Yeah. San Francisco's on. Home, grown, pay reppin' so we can get it on. Get it on. We in need of another ring, no resting. Harbaugh, you got a question? Oh, you got it better than us. The dude's got a very consistent sound, doesn't he? All right, so that's pretty much it. It's going to end probably just as abruptly, I imagine. That's it. It's out. Done. All right. So now the question is, who do you think made part two happen? Who do you think made Who's Got It Better Than Us part two, the sequel, happen at Michigan? Do you think Harbaugh looking to psych his guys up and get the heart, you know, Wolverine Nation going and get, you know, Go Blue fans everywhere, you know, hyped up? Did he go to dude from Cali and say, yo, Bailey, remember your Who's Got It Better Than Us thing? You got to come and do it Michigan styles with a Z. And I'm sure Jim Harbaugh said that to him with a Z. Do you think he went to him and said, let's do this thing? Because he got Harbaugh to participate here. This isn't just B-roll footage of Harbaugh yelling to his team and then making it look like he's to the beat going, who's got it better than us? Harbaugh's all up in the Michigan version, yelling it out at the camera, who's got it better than us?
And that's why I base it on absolutely nothing, but my hunch is this started with Harbaugh.
Harbaugh,
this time.
Instead of...
The other circumstantial evidence, think back to earlier in the spring with that little party or whatever they had. We had too much fun that day as well with...
Well, which party are you talking about? The one where he was fragging dudes with paintball guns?
No, their little kind of rally thing or whatever. The one that Ric Flair spoke at?
Oh, yeah.
I'm leaning that and the fact he's more prominently in the Michigan one, actually there and not just B-roll footage, basically. That's why I'm leaning towards Harbaugh instigated this one.
And you might be right. The only thing I'm saying about the other side is I've never heard of Bailey. And outside of the Bay Area, if you've never heard of Bailey, maybe dude is trying to go more nationwide. And maybe he knows that Harbaugh is the hottest thing going in college football. Coming into this 2016 season, it's about to get, practice is about to get underway. You know, Michigan is a favorite. Michigan is a national story. Jim Harbaugh took the country by storm last year, his first year at Michigan, giving them their best season, obviously, in years. Forget about Rich Rod. Forget about Brady Hoke. Forget about all of it. You know, he turned it around so much more quickly than anybody thought. Everybody is watching, and many people are picking Michigan to win the Big Ten and maybe to be a playoff team and maybe, depending on their quarterback situation, to make some noise when they get there. Maybe this Bailey cat said, hey, yo, man, Rick, I need to go I need to go nationwide. I need to get more pub. I need to get more, expand my brand. How about I do for you up there at Go Blue what I did for you here by the Bay? What do you say? And maybe he came to him. I don't know. Because, I mean, is Harbaugh that devoted to entertainment in addition to football that he's going out to seek this stuff out? What do you think?
I'm still kind of leaning towards he is, because just think of some of the things that he's been doing. Not necessarily on the football field on Saturdays. The rally we just spoke of with Ric Flair and all the rest. The constant poking in the eye of the SEC guys with the whole camp thing that's at times been a story here in this spring and early summer. He's doing things that most big time college coaches haven't really done in a way, or doing them differently, I should say.
Well, there's no doubt about that. Yeah, he is absolutely doing things way differently than anybody else. And by the way, that Ric Flair signing of the stars thing, that's what you were talking about.
Yeah, signing of the stars. Thank you. The title was escaping me.
Yeah, that's what it was, signing with the stars, or signing of the stars, I should say, when Michigan introduced and Harbaugh introduced his...
The recruiting class.
His recruiting class, exactly right. And Flair, I don't remember exactly what he said or what he did, but I'm just going to go on a quick check of it here, just a little reminder about how much fun Harbaugh is making Michigan football right now. This is actually from the Big Ten Network, and this is their footage of signing with the Stars. And I'm just going to go ahead and play this for a second. Normally, I don't do this without checking in to see what it is. Flair comes in doing the strut that he did enter the ring. That signing of the stars.
Well, if you know my story, you know that it's not very often that I
this is February
tell
3rd.
People that I'm humbled. But to be honest with you, I'm in a very, very humbled moment right now in my life, because this is really cool. And now, you don't get it. I've wrestled in North Korea in front of 190,000 people. I retired in front of 80,000 in my last match. And I don't think I've ever had the feeling inside personally that I have this moment, because I know now that all the hard work that I put into my career gave me the end result of your respect. People like Todd Mechet, Coach Holtz, Coach Lanahan, my good friend Jim Harbaugh, who first saw me wrestle in 1989, and then I motivated the 49ers for him. So much that they asked me to leave Charlotte, North Carolina, my home. Don't know if you followed that story.
Woo!
Steve Smith burnt one of my robes. But
all right, I've heard just about enough because he's more talking about himself than he is about the Michigan class. But there you go. So, yeah, you're right, Jim Cushlin. Jim Harbaugh likes to have a lot of fun. He likes to throw these, you know, these events that just kind of get people talking. And you know what it is? It's all about recruiting. He is making it look like it is a blast to play for him at the University of Michigan. So five-star recruits, yeah, you can go here or there to the button-down places, or you can come to a place that is fun for everybody. Look at what we got. We got rappers doing songs about us, putting your names in the song. We got Ric Flair coming to celebrate your signing. We got all of this stuff. He is he's kind of reinventing the wheel a little bit. Not that there haven't been wild, outlandish kinds of coaches, but, you know, in the past, because obviously there have been, but coaches who have been this accomplished, coaches who have turned around programs in so many places and won almost immediately, that he's been, you know, constantly desired by other coaches and, or I'm sorry, by other programs or franchises to go and work there. For him to be as accomplished and successful as he is, and then to be this kind of wild and fun, it's all about recruiting. And you know what? He probably did. He probably went to this this Bailey character from California and said, "Yo, man, you got to do this for us here. Hook us up. Let's do another. Who's got it better than us right here in Michigan?"
And that's kind of what, and I believe Russo and Cannell before us were kind of talking a little bit about this, and I think some others have too. The broader question, thinking about this just funny video with Harbaugh, is: are these kind of things the future of recruiting? You know, in kind
yeah,
of the way
you
just
gotta
you
have
said.
The personality to you, do to make
agree.
That happen.
Oh, oh yes, you know? Absolutely do. You absolutely do. A Jim Tressel type person couldn't pull
oh,
this off.
Oh, goodness gracious, no. No, no. I can't see Jim Tressel sweater vested
that's
all
just
looking
the first
at the
name
camera
that
and saying, he's
head.
Got it better than us.
Right, right. You know, but, you know, comparing, you can play for the button-down place or you can you know, come play for here. Part of this is a new way of, it seems, or it feels like to me at least, this is a new type
well, it depends
of
on if it
helping.
Works.
Yeah, right, right.
You know, you take a look at his recruiting class. You take a look and see what he gets. I mean, obviously he had a very good class this year. But you take a look at that, you know, next year and so on and so forth. And if it looks like, you know, other schools are losing out on top 4- and 5-star recruits because they're going to play at Michigan, they're going to say, man, we got to start doing what Harbaugh does. We got to have 50 satellite camps in 50 different states. We got to get
them. And foreign countries.
We gotta have our part of our spring practice in other parts of the country where there are a lot of great recruits, and we gotta get silly, and we gotta get fun, and we gotta be not so stodgy and not so buttoned up and all of that old school stuff. We gotta go ahead and bring. And the funny part about this, Cushlin, is, and Michigan fans, we'd love to hear from you too at 866-240-1065. Ohio State fans, what do you think about your new rival? Not your new rival, your age old rival, but the new style, the new way of promoting themselves, if you will, that Michigan has undertaken. But Jim, the funny part about this is, do you recall before this past season started, we talked about this. There was an interview that Harbaugh did on a national show that is now on a different network, but it was on ESPN at the time. And Jim Harbaugh did an interview with this national host, and it doesn't matter. It's Colin Cowherd. I mean, you're not going to pretend these people don't exist because they're not on the ESPN network. You know, these shows exist. We just think there are better shows that we carry for you here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. But anyway, he was on ESPN at the time, and Harbaugh went on with him, and there was one of the most awkward interviews ever. And I talked about it on this program because Harbaugh was, you know, newly named, you know, the Michigan coach, and he was approaching his first season, and obviously he was trying to catch up to his to the other schools in recruiting because he was only going to be able to have a partial recruiting class. This is all, you know, going on last year, and because he came in late, and every question that was asked of him in that interview, he basically was a jerk to. He either played Belichick and was just like two mumbles and no comment, or when the interviewer was asking the questions, which were, you know, this is what you're supposed to do when you're an interviewer. You never ask yes or no questions. You ask open-ended questions to make the interview subject talk, you know, to get them to open up a little bit. And he would, instead of opening up and answering the question, open it up and basically say, you know, I don't want to talk about that, or I don't want to answer that. I don't have it all memorized right now. But I just remember saying on the air here on this program that Jim Harbaugh, a Michigan fan, should be worried about this, I said at the time. that Jim Harbaugh blew a golden opportunity on a nationally syndicated radio show to sell his program. And that's what the interviewer, Coward, even said. He said, look, he said, I'm giving you a chance to sell your program here. He pointed out that Saban comes on all the time. He pointed out that Urban Meyer comes on. And when they get on, you know, they talk and they open up and they talk about the virtues of their program and they talk about the success that they have enjoyed and they talk about the great things that they've got going on, their philosophy of football. And the reason why Saban and those guys do that is because it helps in recruiting. And you know, players get a chance to see and listen to these guys in a more in-depth interview rather than just, you know, talking points that they might give at a, you know, at a lecture or at a recruiter on a recruiting visit. And I remember saying, yeah, he's right. I mean, you know, Harbaugh blew a golden opportunity here to sell his program. He's brand new as the Michigan head coach. He's got to convince guys that they want to come and play for him. And yet, anybody who watched that video of that interview, I should say, watched that interview live or on tape or whatever the case might be, DVR, it was on TV. Anybody who watched that and was considering, you know, maybe I'd like to go play at Michigan, probably watched that and said, man, that dude is just a dud. That dude is kind of pompous. He's kind of a jerk. He feels like he doesn't have to talk. He doesn't have to answer any questions. And it was just ugly. And I said that. I said, I'm very disappointed because as, you know, a Big Ten fan, you know, Ohio State or Michigan, I said it all during the process after they got rid of Brady Hoke that they need to hit a home run, that they've got to either get Jim Harbaugh, which I didn't think they'd be able to do. They got to get Jim Harbaugh or they got to get Les Miles out of LSU. They got to hit a home run. They can't just hire the next up-and-comer like Hoke or Rich Rod was supposed to be. And when they hired Harbaugh, I said, that's the way it's got to be for the strength of the Big Ten. A strong, solid, championship-contending Michigan program helps Ohio State and Michigan State in the Big Ten get the national recognition that and respect that the Big Ten needs to get playoff berths, to compete for championships. And then here he is. They hit the home run. They get Jim Harbaugh. They shock the world by pulling him out of the NFL. And he's just kind of watching it waste away. He's just being a dud. Well, lo and behold, I don't know what happened that day. If that was just, you know, he got up on the wrong side of the bed. He cut himself shaving. He stubbed his toe on the toilet. Something happened because he was just in such a bad mood. But ever since then, he has just been the life of the party. He's been the life of the party, taking part in kids' charity events, and I can't remember the specifics of it, where they were doing, you know, like paintball teams or paintball wars, and he was, like, ultra-competitive, and he's a 50-year-old man hiding and camouflaging himself and fragging little 8-year-olds so that he could win the paintball tournament. I mean, you know, the dude is just, and you know, and that's obviously just one small example of it. He has just become, you know, the most engaging personality in college football. And this video and this, you know, the fights he's picking with the other conferences, going to the satellite camps, going down to Florida for a week of their spring football practice to work out down there. All of this stuff that that Harbaugh's doing is just so, well, it was so unseen. It was so, it's such a surprise that I never saw it coming based on how he kind of acted when he took the job and did those first couple interviews.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You almost wonder if he was playing a feint in those first couple of interviews that you're mentioning too.
Yeah, I mean, there's no other explanation really. I mean, truly, I just I don't quite understand, you know, why he would have what there was to gain from, you know, kind of putting on that fake persona, if you will. But all I know is now he is a heck of a lot more fun to a lot of people, and that's gonna really really help him out in recruiting in the same way that I thought that really ugly persona of his in the interview that he did, that national interview, was going to hurt him in recruiting. Sylvania, let's go out and talk to Sam and see what he thinks about Jim Harbaugh and the new video that he is starring in. Sam, how you doing this afternoon, sir?
I'm doing great, Bob. How are you?
I'm great. What do you think of Harbaugh? Is this just all about recruiting? He's just out there just to kind of be you know, throw a party Michigan style to get guys to say, I want to play there?
Well, absolutely. I will say this. You know, when I was in high school, if you were being recruited, you wanted to go to some of the teams that had great traditions, you know, the Michigans, the Notre Dames. And we saw a shift a few years ago where what appealed to an 18-year-old kid was, you know, blue turf, multiple uniforms, those type of things. And so, you know, there has been a shift in the way you recruit kids, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the way Harbaugh is going about this is going to make him a better recruiter. It's getting his name out there, but it's almost making him look like an idiot, in my opinion. Now, at the beginning of the show, you talked about the success Michigan had had last year, and I just want to remind people that are picking him to win the Big Ten that you've got probably one of arguably two of the top coaches in the entire nation, and it was a 42-13 game, and it wasn't even close. So I think we need to scale back a little bit. Yeah, he's out there. He's making a goofball out of himself. Of course, it's for recruiting, but it has to equate on the field. I'll tell you this, D'Antonio, second best coach in the Big Ten right now, as far as I'm concerned.
Wow, Mike. So Mark D'Antonio. So in other words, Urban, Mark D'Antonio, and then Jim Harbaugh until he wins probably a Big Ten championship, right?
Until he wins. Now, I will say this: I like Jim Harbaugh as a rival coach because he's ultra competitive and he's easy to dislike.
He is easy to dislike unless you're a Michigan fan, and I think that's the difference here. If you are a Michigan fan, you are probably watching this and loving every second of it. Because think about what Michigan football had been for the last, you know, few years. You know, the Brady Hoke years and the Rich Rod years. I mean, it had been a very depressing thing to be around. Michigan football fans were just, you know, kind of in shock. We're not even a factor on the national scene. We're not even a factor in the Big Ten. We are losing to App State. We're losing to Max schools. You know, what's that?
Yeah, to Toledo.
Yeah, well, and in their mind, you know, if we lose to Max schools and to, you know, App State and 1AA type schools or FCS schools, we go doing that kind of stuff. I mean, it just wasn't even fun. And the fact that he has come back and turned it around as quickly as he has and made the team, even though you're right, I mean, he got blown out by Ohio State as Urban Meyer reminded him who the big bad boy still is on the block in the Big Ten. But he had Michigan State beat, a dropped punt snap. Literally a dropped punt snap gave Michigan State a gift victory in that game, one that bounced just the right way. And it was the last play. All they got to do is tackle the guy who recovered the punt snap, and things didn't work. But, you know, he certainly has places to go, and he certainly has room for improvement with his club. But if you just turn it around as quickly as he did and become a factor as quickly as you did, and now you're doing this kind of stuff, you're right. It might make him look silly, goofy, foolish, or whatever. But if 18-year-old kids see it and like it, he'll take the insults and the descriptions of being goofy from guys like you and me all day long if it means that 18-year-old's going to sign the dotted line with Michigan letterhead.
Absolutely. I think it's good for the Big Ten, bringing some attention. I will say this, though. You could get one of a number, Coach. You could have went and got Gary Pinkel if his health was okay. And coming from Rich Rod and Brady Hoke, he would have turned it around as well. So,
that's right.
Yeah, Harbaugh's a good coach. But what he took over was a program that was a joke for so long because they tried to fill a big, prestigious program with nobody coaches who had no business trying to compete against Urban Meyer and D'Antonio and these guys. So
yeah, I think that's very well said.
Part of the Big Ten.
Sam, thanks for the call, bud. I appreciate it. You know, the thing with Harbaugh, though, is, too, not to diminish his accomplishments. He's done this at other places. He went to San Diego, University of San Diego, which was nothing. I mean, literally nothing. He took that program over in his first year, 7-4, in his second, including five straight wins to end the season. The next year, 11-1. And they won the Pioneer Football League Championship. In 2006, 11-1 again in another league championship. You know, this is the greatest comeback and turnaround, or whatever you want to call it, or building of a program in that university's history, which led him very quickly to Stanford. Now it's Pac-10 come Pac-12 now, of course. But he instantly gets into Pete Carroll, the legend himself. Pete Carroll, the coach, the national championship coach at USC, and Harbaugh becomes a burr in his saddle immediately and basically challenges him and said, we're going to go take down USC at Stanford. Stanford hadn't been a relevant championship team. Ty Willingham had them doing some great things in the middle of, or in the early 2000s, I suppose. But Jim Harbaugh took a team and a program there and immediately made it a championship contender. And he beats number one USC in his first season. And he ticks off Pete Carroll in the process. And he turns them into a championship contender every year for the 4 years he's there. And then we all know the story. He goes to San Francisco. And again, the Niners have been horrible. What's he do? He goes to two NFC championship games and one Super Bowl in 3 years, for crying out loud. Again, a tremendous accomplishment. and then in Michigan. All of the negativity, all of the down feelings, if you will, about a once historically proud program that had just fallen on hard times with these nobody coaches, and bang, he brings back the roar of the Wolverine. And he does it so quickly that everybody is engaged, and now he's pulling five-star recruits away from other programs that had previously staked permanent claims to guys like that, saying, I want to go play for Jim Harbaugh. And if making things more fun is what it takes to bring those kinds of guys in, all he's got to do is do it a couple of years in a row and watch the talent level that he builds get ready to not lose to Urban Meyer 42-13. Watch him build the talent level to say, we are now the big bad boys on the block in the Big Ten. And that is not something Ohio State fans want to hear, and not something that Ohio State fans want to see. I can tell you that personally. But I can tell you that this is going to work. It's going to work for him. It's going to work for Jim Harbaugh. If he keeps doing this, watch and see. And this was the original question. Will anybody start to copy this now? And if it becomes successful, yes. The answer. There we go. If it starts to become successful, it is going to be copied and mimicked as everybody tries to become the fun place to play. Ric Flair seems to concur. He knows what a Michigan party looks like. Didn't I tell you? Ric Flair's woo makes every song better. I've proven that many, many years on the radio. You play a popular or rock song for me, and I'll improve it with Ric Flair. All right, it's 3:44, so we are obviously a little bit behind our clock, which is standard operating procedure for us. So let's take a quick time out here. We'll get ourselves a Sports Center update from Cushlin. We'll come back and talk a little bit more about college football. We got some NFL stuff to talk about as well. You want to get into baseball, too? Tigers picked up a game on the Indians yesterday. Can they take advantage and do it again tonight? We'll get there. You got to watch the video during the break, by the way. Do yourself a favor, seriously. If for no other reason than just to see the intense red face of Jim Harbaugh screaming with his neck veins bulging directly into the camera, it is worth the trip to your keyboard, seriously. We posted it on our Twitter feed, which is Sports Radio 106.5. We posted it on our Facebook page, 106.5, The Ticket. Take a look, share it. If you're a Michigan fan, tell us what you think of it as we have a little bit of fun this afternoon on the Extravaganza right here on ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. National ship in the Rose Bowl. Yeah. They gon' hit from start to finish. The M Club is with it and Junkman the image. We ready right now. You want it, they come and get it. Winged helmets, everybody is hit. Go blue. Go blue. Take it up a notch, we supposed to. Any haters in the way, we gotta go through. I ain't got a question, but the coach do. Be part of the extravaganza right now by calling 866-240-1065. Now back to the Bob France extravaganza on 106.5 The Ticket. Indeed, we roll onward on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket, having a little bit of fun. I just put the poll question up, Cushlin, so we want to make sure to check on it every now and again. It's on our Twitter feed. Take a look at it right now. It's on Sports Radio 106.5. And the question is, it's actually a poll, so you can click one of the three choices that we have thrown there. And that is the Michigan Harbaugh rap that we've been playing for you and just kind of goofing with a little bit here. The Michigan Harbaugh rap. Is it awesome? And what I wrote is, let's vote University of Michigan football fans at UBish football. Does the UM rap make Harbaugh look cheesy or awesome? And then I put a link to the video there on YouTube. And the three choices are awesome, love it, cheesy, have some class, or C, a little bit of both. What do you think, Kush? Where are you voting?
For me, it's a little bit of both. It's absolutely a little bit of both because it is a little cheesy. And I think that's part of the point. But it's also almost an instant classic because it is hilarious. I love this thing. So I'm right in the middle, a little bit of both.
Yeah, and I am too, to a degree. I mean, I like, you know, this is going to sound stupid, but sometimes I like cheesy. You know what I mean? Sometimes cheesy can be fun. Sometimes something that is goofy makes you look a little bit silly, makes it look a little bit, a little bit less serious, like you don't take yourself so seriously, sometimes that stuff can be fun, whether it's in music or in this case football or a combination thereof, football and music, as it were in this. So we want to see how that vote goes as the afternoon goes on. We'll keep that up there for the rest of the show, obviously, and then maybe even through the rest of the day, and then take a look at it tomorrow and see what the totals come out to be. Already three people have voted, and two of them love it. One of them think it's cheesy. Nobody has said both yet. So there you go. I'm going to vote both. I'm going to vote both, so I might skew the results just a little bit. All right, we only have a couple minutes left here in this particular segment of the program before the top of the hour. So I want to kind of set something up for the second hour. They talked somewhat about this on Mike and Mike this morning, and they took it into a different direction. Now, if you don't know, if you hadn't paid attention to this, it's kind of a cool thing. ESPN and others got together on Friday, I guess it would have been the 15th. Is that Friday? Yeah, that was Friday. Got together on Friday, and Kevin Seifert wrote the piece for ESPN.com. And it's 9 ways to improve the National Football League by the year 2018. So you got 2 seasons, essentially, to make the NFL better. 9 ways to do it. Suggestions for improvement should be made with care. And let me just read the directive from the ESPN.com site. By most objective standards, the NFL resides at the top of the country's sporting world. It rakes in more revenue, generates better TV ratings, and according to the annual Harris poll, counts by far the most fans of any American sport. Suggestions for improvement, then, should be made with care. Despite public grousing, often but not always justified, the NFL's results speak for themselves. But in the spirit of the ESPN Future Power Rankings, our 3-year projections, and other deep scans, what follows are some realistic ideas, big and small, that could enhance the product and or reduce public angst. So they took this seriously. It's not just goofiness. Get better uniforms. You know, And what it's going to spawn is going to be something very interesting to me. And I'll read them to you here in a second to kind of set it up for the next hour, what they came up with. But what it's going to spawn a whole bunch of radical ideas like Vince McMahon dreamed up. Vince McMahon talked about how to improve football about 15 years ago. Yes, Ric Flair. Ric Flair would concur. Vince McMahon, the owner of World Wrestling Entertainment, as you know, spawned the XFL, the Extreme Football League, to try to challenge the NFL back at the turn of the century at around 2000. And one of the things they did was, we're going to improve the game. No, they even got Dick Butkus, for crying out loud, one of the all-time greatest players and most feared players in NFL history. They got Dick Butkus to come out there and declare before the inaugural game of that league. Cushion, you probably don't even remember this, I wouldn't think. But Dick Butkus, the Hall of Fame linebacker, came out there and took the microphone before their very first game and said, no more of them sissy coin flips like they have over there in the NFL. Here, you want the ball, you got to fight for it. And they had the old roll the ball out 10 yards, and one representative from each team has got to go and dive on it and scramble and recover the fumble to get the opening possession or to get their choice of kicking off or deferring. And so that's the kind of silliness you're probably going to hear, you're probably going to find in this. But ESPN did 9 ways to improve the NFL. Now, back to my Mike and Mike story. This morning on Mike and Mike, in which case it wasn't even Mike and Mike. In fact, it rarely ever is anymore. It seems like it's always Mike and somebody else. Either Greenberg or Golic is always gone. But nonetheless, Greenberg and Buster Olney this morning talked about, let's take this to baseball. What are the 9 best ways that you can suggest? And they had the fans vote on this or make their suggestions, and then Buster chose the 9 he liked best for the best ways to improve baseball. I don't want to go there. I want to stay with the football and get your ideas. Do you like the ones that they come up with here, that they came up with here, or do you have your own? Maybe you think that some of Vince McMahon's ideas for the XFL are top-notch. Great idea. Let's do that. But I want to kind of kick this around next hour and see what we come up with. The 9 that ESPN put together are, number 1, take option number 2 in Europe. Number 2, address post-score commercial breaks. Number 3, let the kickoff die and move on. Number 4, establish family/alcohol-free sections at stadiums. Number 5, accept where officiating needs help and where it doesn't. Number 6, address pass interference. Number 7, a quarterback academy at last. And I don't even know what that means, but I mean, I know what it means, but I can't explain it until we come back. Number 8 is reimagine fake games, and number 9 is make nice with the NFLPA, the Players Association. There are a lot of explanations to us to some of those things that I'll try to share with you after the top of the hour break. But keep those in mind, and while I researched this particular topic, I found some other semi-radical proposals in previous years about things we need to do to make the NFL better. I will share some of those with you and kind of kick them around, and we'll put together our own as a show. I'll put some in. Cushling can put some in. But most importantly, we want you to put some in. How would you, if you could only pick one rule, what would you do to improve the National Football League? We are getting closer and closer and closer to training camps getting started, preseason football, and then bang, we're underway in the 2016 season. Let's ring it in with some ideas, with some creativity. How would you improve the league? One thing, when you call us up, don't give me 7 things. Don't give me your own list. Pick the one that's the most important to you, and as a show, we'll put together our own little list from what we collect from you and what we've learned from ESPN. All right? So we'll have some fun with that next hour. I think it could be a lot of fun, depending on your participation level. Don't make Cush and I do all the heavy lifting. Come up with your ideas, and let's share them together. 866-240-1065. Get in line now if you'd like. We'll talk to you right after the break on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
He's swinging away, and he drives it to center, and look at this! Escobar scores! Here comes Hosmer! Colon is going to third, and he will be out! Left field, base hit, Ramirez charging. Coming around third, Gordon to the plate, the throw is...
Later in the inning, Jerod Dyson.
There's a long drive down the left field line, way back in left, and gone, a home run. Oh, it just curved by the foul
sure
pole.
Did.
Fair or foul was the only question, and Upton kept it fair. Home run number 10 gives the Tigers a 1-0 lead in the second. The 3-2 swing, and Adam on strikes, a little pump at Boyd.
Fastball right by him.
If that's the end of his night, it's a heck of a way to end it. The 3-2 runner goes, swing and a miss, throw down to second base, and they got it! Strike him out, throw him out to end the game!
Hail to the victors, that's above all. I got one question, tell them Harbaugh.
Who's got it better than us? Nobody! Who's got it better than us? Nobody!
This is the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
I think we have your answer, Cushlin. You're no longer on C. You're no longer on a little bit of the both. You love it. You love every second of it. You just put it into your montage for the second hour.
I do. I guess I have to change my vote then. I think it's great.
Confession is good for the soul.
Yes, it is.
Who's got it better than us? Nobody, says Jim Cushlin.
Oh, my. We ready right now. You want it, then come and get it. Wing helmets, everybody is here. Go blue. Go blue, taking up a notch, we supposed to. Any haters in the way, we gotta go through. I ain't got a question, but the coach do.
I gotta tell ya, I gotta tell ya, I don't really think. I honestly don't think there's anybody else that could pull this off in the video the way Harbaugh does.
No, my favorite part now is him in the convertible.
Yeah,
after watching this a couple more times.
He's got the seat kicked back too, like he's low riding. You know, he's like low riding. Jim Harbaugh is, and he's got his hand on the wheel. He just looks to the side and bellows out, "Who's got?" I mean, I don't know if anybody else could pull it off. Now think about the more, somebody who could have done it. Possibly, if he was still coaching, Steve Spurrier. Steve Spurrier's got that kind of swag and that swagger, and that kind of cachet and that kind of panache, whatever you want to call it, he could get away with it because he's the one who walks around with that smirk on his face, that little superior, which is where he gets his name, Steve Superior, that superior grin on his face. You know, I'm the old ball coach. I know what I'm doing. He's kind of the guy, even at the age of 71, if he hadn't hung him up after last year at South Carolina, he's the kind of guy that might be able to do it. But in all honesty, I don't know if anybody else would kind of have the persona for that to pull that off. It's really interesting to think about. I don't know if anybody else would be able to do what Harbaugh did in that one. But it's up on our webpage, or our two social media webpages, I should say, at 106.5 The Ticket on Facebook and at Sports Radio 106.5. Cast your vote in both places. We'd love to see what you have to say about that. Hey, by the way, speaking of football and speaking of college football, starting camp soon. ESPN 106.5 The Ticket is gearing up for the season with a live broadcast from the MAC Media Day, which is Thursday the 28th. So a week from this Thursday at Ford Field in Detroit, the former voice of the Toledo Rockets, Mark Beyer, will be broadcasting live from 1 to 3 right up to the start of the extravaganza. And Mark is going to focus on the University of Toledo Rockets as well as Bowling Green, as well as the rest of the MAC. So MAC Media Day brought to you by, powered by Brondi's Ford on Secor, Battery Wholesale, Great Lakes Credit Union, Transfer Media DVD, and Team Sports only. From Toledo's ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. So that'll be very cool.
Yes, it
to
will.
Check in with Mark Beyer, giving you the lowdown on MAC football on MAC Media Day.
Plus, it means on that day you'll have 5 hours worth of local shows here on The Ticket instead of just three.
That's right. That's no, you mean six. Are we? Oh, I'm sorry. Instead of, I was thinking to myself he was going to do a 3 hour show plus my two plus drive time. So my bad.
Now it's so, one to three. Then normal extravaganza and drive time after that.
Right, 1 to 3 for Mark. Not 3 hours.
Right.
2 hours. 1, 2, 3. That was my bad. Okay, that's why that little elementary math equation escaped me. Okay, so that's coming up on the 28th week from Thursday. All right, here's the thing that I was setting up, and I've got people on hold already. I'm coming right to you. This is just one of those fun little, hey, the NFL season is about to start, and here's really a great way to look at the game and the state of the game. ESPN came out with their 9 ways to improve the NFL by the year 2018. Number one, some of them are self-explanatory. Some of them I might have to explain in just a second, and I want to do that. Take option number 2 in Europe. For nearly a decade, NFL observers have assumed the league wanted a place to have a franchise in London. Or wanted to place a franchise in London. It raised the frequency of games there to 4 a season. It's consulting on the construction of a new stadium that's being built there. Right now they're playing in Twickenham Stadium this year. An alternative scenario makes more sense, though. Rather than relocating a franchise there, something that would require the team to maintain and use a stateside practice facility and then doom it to competitive disadvantages, the NFL should instead build a virtual franchise by staging 8 or so regular season games a season. So don't put a regular franchise there, but just rotate an equitable rotation system to get everybody over there multiple times every decade so that they could have essentially a regular season in London. 8 games, just like every home city in America has 8 games in their home stadium each year. But it just wouldn't be the same team. It would be a virtual home team. So that's one. Address post-score commercial breaks. Everybody hates this. They have a touchdown and an extra point, and then they have a commercial break, and then they have the kickoff, and then they have a commercial break. It is just dragging the pace of the game out. Find another way to stick those spots, but break those down. Let the kickoff die and move on. That is self-explanatory. They're already eliminating it anyway by almost making touchbacks, a guarantee.
I was just going to say that stat was in the post-score commercial breaks explanation because this is a number I hadn't seen yet, but I knew it was big like this. Touchbacks have gone from 16.4% in 2010 to last year it was 56% touchbacks.
Yeah.
Get
it over with and get rid of the kickoff. And by the way, I hate the idea. Because the kickoff return for a touchdown is one of the most exciting plays in the game.
Sure.
Every single year, the highlight reels are filled with kickoff returns for touchdowns. Off the field, this one is established family and alcohol-free sections. In other words, if you're going to go there to treat the stadium like it's your own personal urinal and it's your own personal garage or man cave where you can drink until you pass out, as well as
the old dog pound at the old stadium.
Exactly, and not just there, but a lot of places. You know what? You're going to have those zones, the dog pound zones or the whatever zones, but you're also going to have places where, you know what, alcohol is not served here in this section. If you go buy a ticket in this section, understand you will not be able to drink. And that way families and kids can go to these games without being, you know, insulted, offended, or whatever the case might be. This one is a little odd, except where officiating needs help and where it doesn't. If only the NFL would make its officials full-time, as some of the conventional wisdom people always throw out there, part-time officials wouldn't be so bad at their job, and I think that's ridiculous. They might not agree, but what officials need is technology that matches what viewers see on TV. They need more access to replay, more latitude to use it, and hopefully in real time to minimize delays. The CFL is experimenting this year with a centralized replay official
who has
the authority. What's that?
Think baseball. In
yes,
a way.
Very, like they do it in New York. No matter where the game is, they go to New York for it. A centralized replay official has the authority to correct calls that are not reviewable. I can see a day or dream of a day when an NFL referee consults a digital interface on his arm to confirm or to fix a call that players are still getting up off the ground. That could be and would be outstanding. They have the ability with digital technology today to very easily have the replay official in whatever city, if it's in New York or whatever it is, look and say, nope, pick that flag up. That was not pass interference. That was not a hold. That was not this or whatever. Let's just keep right on going. And they just buzz it down and tell the official, the referee in charge, that's what we're doing. I like the idea. Addressing pass interference, we still don't know what pass interference is. We still don't know what the completion of the catch means. Those are two things I think they need to include in this. A quarterback academy.
And before you go any farther, yes. And part of the addressing pass interference, at least in this ESPN article about this, is the because it's a spot foul. As we know in the NFL, it's a spot foul. But if you're watching on Saturdays, like, oh, the pass interference. And if you brain fart your second, you'll be like, oh, yeah, that's right. It's only 15 yards in college. That's one part that he's specifically also bringing up in addressing pass interference.
That's a great point. And we'll stick that. I'm kind of glossing over these a little bit more than I want to because I want to get to callers and not make them way too long. But there's three more. A quarterback academy. And this is basically to allow quarterbacks to get better without getting killed all of the time. You know, you don't want to play your quarterback in preseason games because you don't want to get him killed. But so you've got to find a way to improve the most important position of the game. According to ESPN, NFL owners might not have the financial appetite to underwrite a full-fledged developmental or minor league, but they should strongly consider at least a QB academy to address league-wide depth issues at the position. NFL Europe produced a few Super Bowl quarterbacks, Kurt Warner, Brad Johnson, Jake Delhomme, but its biggest contribution was providing quality depth. Sean Hill, John Kitna, Kelly Holcomb, Doug Peterson, etc. Put a quarterback academy together so players can get training on the job while they're kind of off the job and they're not actually getting killed trying to make teams in training camp and in preseason games where you're just not going to get enough opportunities. Reimagine fake games is number 8, and this is a little bit odd. Public sentiment might simply be to eliminate the season, the preseason, and the Pro Bowl, games that don't count in the standings, fake games, if you will. The NFL makes money on them, however, just auctioning off a Pro Bowl week to Orlando, Florida for at least $3 million. So we can't expect them to just turn off the spigot completely. Plus, in the absence of a developmental league previously discussed, preseason games are the only live-action opportunities to develop young players, especially quarterbacks. Instead, call these games what they are and align the expectations accordingly. A developmental exhibition rather than a preseason game more accurately describes what takes place. If fans are paying regular season ticket prices, make it worth their while. Plan exclusive events with veteran players who aren't participating, for example. And as for the Pro Bowl, honor the game's true all-stars with a trip to Orlando, but don't ask them to play. If a game is necessary, make it a futures game to promote promising rookie and other young players who would be motivated to participate and build their brand. So there's the reimagining of the fake games. And finally, make nice with the NFLPA. Recent legal rulings suggest players have reason to be very suspicious of the owner's respect for the CBA, while the owners are wary of a union whose members focus on short-term gains by necessity and also on avoiding punishment for serious off-field behaviors, and they have to find a way to address all of that. So that is a big mouthful because I have a big mouth, and there's a lot of stuff there to explain. But there are many other possibilities for improving the game. If you could pick just one, you don't get to give us a list of 9 like ESPN did. If you could pick just one way to improve the National Football League, what would you do? Let's go to Toledo and say good afternoon to Mark. Mark, you're on ESPN 106.5. The Ticket, let's make the NFL better. What is your suggestion?
How you doing, gentlemen?
Good, sir. What's on your mind? What do you think?
This is a real simple one that gets on everybody's nerve.
Yeah.
A catch is when the ball does not hit the ground and you are inbounds or in the end zone. End of discussion. That's a catch.
When the ball doesn't hit the ground and you are inbounds or in the end zone, does that mean in the air?
Absolutely. It is a catch.
So you don't even have to get a foot down.
No, I'm sorry. Get the two feet down.
Okay.
But what I'm talking about, the bobbling and, oh, the ground helped the catch and all, the Calvin Johnson rule, basically.
And you didn't make a move. You got to make a football move.
Yeah, I don't care about a football move. I don't care about a catch is a catch because why do you have to make a football move if you're catching a sideline catch?
That's a great point.
Yeah, you don't make a football. And you're talking to a guy who played defensive back.
So you're willing to give up a little bit to the receivers just to make the game better.
Absolutely, because it drives me absolutely insane. A catch is don't bobble the ball 2 feet down, you're inbounds or you're in the zone. It's a catch. There's no room for discussion.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, the one part I would maybe add on to that, and I don't know if I could or it might have to be my own separate rule, but the thing about the sideline, the thing about the goal line, I think they need to find consistency. If it is a touchdown to just cross the plane of the goal line, you don't actually have to land on the other side of that line.
Exactly.
Then how is it not out of bounds if you cross the plane of the sideline?
If you cross the plane of the sideline,
the ball is now out of bounds. You can't catch that. And in other words, they need to find consistency. It's either a touchdown, a touchdown to me has to be when you literally touch down on the other side of the goal line with the ball in your possession, right?
Agreed.
I like it, my man. Great stuff. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate that. That has been my, I might say my biggest pet peeve. It is one of my biggest pet peeves with the NFL and really in football in general. When you see guys, I don't like it. I'm sorry. When you see a guy, you know, here comes Cam Newton on a quarterback scramble and he's going to go, you know, he's on his 15 and he's going to go for it and he's running for the corner and he dives and his whole body, is diving out of bounds at the two. He's in the air out of bounds, but he sticks the ball out and holds it over the air that encompasses what we know as the end zone. It's the air above the end zone. And they say, oh, he got the ball inside the pylon or just touched the pylon. And therefore it's a touchdown. It crossed the plane before he landed out of bounds. There's 6'5" and 230 pounds of guy, and I'm just picking the NFL MVP. I'm not picking on Cam. This is just an example. Here's a 6'5", 230 pound guy, that is all out of bounds except for his left wrist and his hand. And the ball is in that left hand, and that one crosses the plane while the rest of him is out of bounds, and they say touchdown. No. I don't know the history of it, and I probably should research it, but I'm going to go ahead and assume that when they originally invented the game, the word touchdown meant you had to touch the ball down in the end zone, in your possession. That's a touchdown. You've got to actually touch the other side of the goal line, the ground. You know, it's amazing how many ways the NFL says that the ground matters. The ground matters sometimes, but not all the time. If you're going to catch a ball on the sideline or in the back of the end zone, well, by God, your feet better be touching the ground. Both toes better be dragging. They better be toe tapping on the ground or it doesn't count. But you can dive out of bounds and just hold the ball over the goal line and the ground doesn't matter. You don't have to be touching the inside of the end zone for that one. Catch the ball out the back of the end zone. Your toes better be in. But dive out of bounds at the goal line. You don't have to be in. You don't have to be touching. Not your elbow, not your hand, not your knee, not your butt. All you got to do is be in the air over the vicinity of the goal line. I think it's ridiculous. They need to clean that up. That's how I would improve the game. And I don't know how much of an improvement it would actually be, but it would make me feel better about it. Because I don't like that. Let's go to Ken in Bowling Green next. Ken. You are on ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well.
What do you think? What's your best suggestion to improve the National Football League?
You have to do something about the pace of the game when you talk about commercials. It is unbearable to watch a game live. You have to, like, wait an hour and then start the game so you don't have to watch, you know, 45 minutes of commercials. It's just so frustrating. And I know you're not a soccer fan. Bob, I know you don't like soccer, but soccer is a 90-minute game, and it only takes 2 hours to watch it because there's not a single commercial in the entire first half. It's so much easier when you know the game only takes 2 hours and you're not sure if in the NFL if it's going to take 3 hours or 4 hours, depending on how many commercials they try to sit in between.
Well, two things in response to that. One, you're right about how frustrating it is. But two, what's the alternative? They don't want to shorten the game to 2 hours because think about how all of their bread is buttered. It is buttered with those 45 minutes of commercials in the course of the game. It is in all of the million-dollar contracts and all of the money that the leagues make.
Not just that, guys.
And all of the owners make. It is on the backs of TV contracts, and those TV companies like CBS and ESPN and NBC are only going to pay that freight if they know they can sell millions of dollars worth of commercials in order to make their own profit. So, it would be counterproductive for them to please the fan by shortening the game because now there won't be a game. They won't have enough money to lure players to even come and play this very dangerous.
Not only that, guys, we also must keep in mind that if you're going to make this comparison, it must be noted for those who aren't aware, there is no such thing as stopping the clock in soccer. You start that clock and it goes until halftime, and then it restarts at the end of halftime and goes to whenever the game ends. There's literally no clock stoppages.
Exactly.
That's one of the reasons they can get away with that.
But the other side of that, and I'm going to ask a question that I really don't care about the answer to. Because you said it yourself, Ken, I'm not a soccer fan, and I don't care. But I'm going to bring it up because of the context here that Jim just put it in. Also in the NFL, when the clock strikes 0:00, they don't say, but you know, there was some other stuff that happened during the game, and we're going to put 3.5 minutes of extra time on the clock. So the game isn't over after all. Guys, get back out of the locker room. We're going back out again. What the hell is this extra time that they put at the end of soccer games?
It's indefensible. I don't agree with that. That's one nice thing about American sports is they don't do anything that foolish. But being able to watch a game, you know, continuous like that, it really is improving the user experience. And it really is nice. You can set your calendar to it. You can finish a 1 hour and 30-minute game in 2 hours because there's a 25-minute halftime. And they find a way to make money in soccer. I'm sure the highest,
not like they do in the National Football League. Not like they do in the
National.
I mean, the NFL is by far the biggest revenue generator in all of team sports. And you can't compare it. You can't compare it to European soccer because obviously they don't have the NFL there.
It's a religion over in Europe.
Well, exactly. But I think one of the reasons it's a religion over in Europe is because it's all the only thing that all of those countries can play. They all can't field NFL franchises in Europe. It's just it's too difficult of a sport, and to develop and grow. My other response to that would be as far as, the 2 hours would be a much more efficient way you can set your clock by, Ken. And you're right, it would be. But there is also an economic impact on that. And what I mean is afternoon Super Bowl parties, game day Sunday, people, and I mean millions and millions of fans, they schedule their days around that. The 1 o'clock game and the 4 o'clock game and it's 6 or 7 hours of parties, and if you limit the game to 2 hours and people say, yeah, we can watch the game, but we're not going to have a party, it'll be over in 2 hours anyway, I honest to God think that you would end up seeing such an impact economically of all of the beer and pop and snacks and wings and pizza and everything else. I mean, NFL football is a religion on Sundays, and people are going to worship at that altar for 3 or 4 hours, and they like it. They don't want to worship for 2 hours and say, man, it's only 3 o'clock in the afternoon, day's over. What am I going to do, go mow the damn lawn? I wish there was still more football on. They want to watch it over 3 or 4 hours because even though the commercials suck, the experience doesn't, and that's what they like.
I would say it would probably improve the experience in the stadium more than it would improve the experience on the couch because going to quite a few Lions games over the years, it is kind of odd. When you're just sitting there watching the players kind of stand around after a play and you're like, oh, TV timeout. Got it.
yeah. That is awkward when you're in a stadium and you see that. My first game I ever attended, I was like, why aren't they going? Why? What are they waiting for? Oh, they're both standing there. Is there somebody injured? I don't understand.
I remember, guys, when I found this out, I found it out through college football when I was at Virginia Tech and would go to some of the games. And when you're in the stands, and again, this is 1999, 2000, 2001, so we're already talking 15, 16 years ago at this point. You look over on the one far side of the sideline, and you watch for the guy in the red shirt. When he gets off the field, we're going to play again. That's what we ended up following because that was the TV timeout guy.
That's how you find out. That's exactly right. And I found out it's not a red shirt thing. You know what it is? It's the orange sleeves thing. The guy with the orange sleeves, they're like oven mitts, long orange oven mitts that go all the way up past the
elbow. What it was in college 15 years ago.
Right,
he had a red and white striped shirt on.
Right, but the orange sleeves guy, that's the guy you look at. When he puts his arms down and jogs off the field, they're about to play again because that's the signal to the TV people upstairs, we're going now. So that's how we know. But anyway, great conversation, Ken. Thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it. I want to get a couple more in here before we take a time out. I know it's bottom of the hour, but I want to get a couple more ideas in. Kevin in Toledo is next on ESPN 106.5. The Ticket, how you doing, Kevin?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. How do we make this great game better?
Well, I've got actually two things for you.
All right.
Number one, when it comes to overtime, let's do it the way the college does it.
Taking turns from the 25 in, you mean?
Taking turns from the 25 in. I love the way they do it in college. It's more exciting.
I was taking a drink there because I thought you were going to last a little longer on your comment. Let me say this in response. The college way is better than the one-score way that the NFL does. And, again, we know how the deal is now. They altered it to if you only kick a field goal, the other team still gets a possession. But if you score a touchdown on your first possession, the other team doesn't get to possess the ball, blah, blah, blah.
It's better than that,
but I don't like either one of them. Because to me, going in for tie, you know, getting first down at the 25 and going in and taking turns like that is kind of like penalty kicks or penalty shots in hockey and soccer. And I'm not a fan of that. I just want them to play football. I want them to play football until another designated period ends. Now, if you want to shorten the quarter from 15 minutes to 10 minutes for the overtime, or shorten the quarter from 15 to 8 minutes in the overtime, the way they do in basketball, from 12 to 5, that's okay. But I want to see offense, defense, and special teams decide the outcome of the game in overtime the same way you do in the regular four quarters. I don't like the idea of eliminating those parts of the games. Punting isn't a factor now. Kickoffs aren't a factor now because we're just going in four times from the 25-yard line.
Yeah, the way they have it now is it's kind of the way that they had it before. If you score a touchdown, the other team doesn't even get a chance to possess the ball. And
that sucks. I agree it sucks. Your way, the college way, is better than that. I will give you that. But I don't like the college way either is what I'm saying. Yours is the lesser of those two evils. The college way is better, but it's still I want to see them play football, another period of football. If you don't want to go 15 more minutes because their bodies are, you know, tired and you can't risk injury and so on and so forth, that's fine. Cut it down to 8 or something, but we're playing football here until somebody wins.
Right.
And the other thing
that I have, and this has already been thrown around, is let's just get rid of the extra point completely. Go for the two-point conversion.
Well, they're getting closer to that. They're getting closer to that. Did you hear the show yesterday when we were talking about the moving the goalposts in closer?
No, I wasn't able to listen yesterday, but I've heard it going around that it might be closer to something like that because the extra point is just it's still almost automatic.
Well, I mean it dropped. Jim, did you have the percentages yesterday? What it is now that they moved the extra point line back from like the 2 yard line to the 20 yard line?
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me, but I know the numbers are something. It went from 95%+ of conversions to something like almost 80. So it's a good 15 to 20% drop. And again, we've seen times already last season, up to and including the AFC Championship game, where that played into factor.
Well, although that was a field goal, though. The NFC Championship game, I'm talking about in the playoff game, I should say, with Minnesota, with Blair Wall.
I'm referring to the AFC Championship game because there was a missed extra point that obviously proved very costly because that game went to overtime.
Exactly right. So if you take that dropped from 95% conversion percentage to
almost
80. What's that?
It's about 80 now.
if you take that drop and then add to it with the story we were talking about yesterday, Kevin, they were talking about experimenting with moving the goalposts closer together, making the posts more narrow, not quite as narrow as the Arena Football League, but more narrow. If you make it harder to make that conversion by moving it back and narrowing the goalposts, you're going to see teams more often saying, let's go for two. We're going to go for two and do our thing. And you know, there's already some players who love that. Ben Roethlisberger, the Steelers, they did it more than anybody last year, said, I hope we never try an extra point kick because I think we should go for two every time. And
exactly. That's what I'm thinking, because what was the percentage for conversions? Like 52% or something?
No, I don't think it was that high. For the Steelers, they had the most, and I think they converted 7 out of 11 attempts. And the belief is they would have tried a lot more than 11 had Roethlisberger not missed 4 games with injury. If he had been playing, they probably would have gone for it more often, because they were easily the biggest gamblers in the NFL. But if you lower that percentage even further down from 80 to, say, 70%, if there's a 7 out of 10 chance that you're going to get 1 point here, and you start to narrow that difference between what your chance is to get 2 points here, you will see more clubs say, you know what, we're going for two. That's going to be our default position, go for two, unless, you know, situations dictate that you only need the one.
Right.
So it's a good idea, and I appreciate it. Thanks very much, Kevin. Here's a couple more, and we'll get more people on the phones, too. If you're on hold, stay there. If you're not on hold, get there, 866-240-1065. Here's a couple more, and I like this one. Mandatory Super Bowl rematch at the losing team's city. So start the next year. You know, this year it would be obviously, you know, the Broncos and the Seahawks. Or I'm sorry, the Panthers. Beg your pardon. The Broncos and the Panthers at Carolina. Start the season there. Give the team that lost the Super Bowl a rematch in their own place, just for the sake of drama to start. Here's another. And this one has been, we've been screaming about for decades. Stop charging full price for preseason tickets. Take those preseason $80 tickets, in which you're going to watch a bunch of dudes who are going to be parking cars in 2 weeks, try to make a football team. Stop charging $80. Charge $10. Charge $10. And you know what you're going to have? You're going to have 50 to 60,000 people willing to pay 10 bucks a ticket to come down there to watch those games. And you're going to make up the money you would lose from the $80 a ticket in revenue. Because in concessions and parking and gear and all that other stuff, if you charge 80 bucks and you only get 15,000 actual bodies to come out, what good are you doing anybody? So that's another one. This one I saw suggested, and I disagree with totally, and that is change pass interference to a 15-yard penalty the college way. I don't like that. And the reason I don't like that is you eliminate the bomb. You eliminate the long touchdown passes, because all you're going to have is a bunch of cornerbacks who have been beaten just grabbing and pulling a guy down, saying, I'd rather take the 15 than give up the touchdown here. Right now, you know what it is. They try to make a play on the ball, because if they don't and they interfere, it's going to be first down on the 1 yard line anyway. And it's essentially giving up a touchdown. You limit the penalty at only 15 yards, and you eliminate the bomb. You take away the deep passing game for so many teams. And we see that far too often in college. You know, a guy will get loose. They'll interfere with him. There's the ball in the air. It's a 50-yard strike, and it's on the money, and a guy just gets completely mugged. And we're like, all right, well, first down. Oh, no, it's not a first down at the spot, or a first down on the one if it happened in the end zone. This is college. It's just a 15-yard penalty. That's crap. We've all seen that happen. I don't think that makes the game better, at least in my opinion. Eliminate ties in the regular season is another one that I read that is pretty good. We talked about ways to do that with overtime, but you just don't get to have a tie. You know, you're going to play until there's a winner one way or the other. Ban commercials after kickoffs, one we already talked about. Let coaches challenge whatever they want, not just certain plays. If they think there was a hold as their guy got tackled as the quarterback rounded the end and then threw the game-winning touchdown pass and the defensive end who was about to kill him got tackled, you can call that or challenge that. And let's see what else. Now, there's a few more suggestions that I've read. I want to take the time out now, get a bottom-of-the-hour sports center or close to it. We'll come back and read a few more. Jim Cushlin, we haven't heard yours yet as well. I gave you mine, but if you got more suggestions on how to make the NFL better before next season, well, before the 2018 season, let's hear it on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Bob France, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Indeed, rolling on and just having a little bit of fun this afternoon. Oh, by the way, Jim, did you check the poll update for a second? Let me double check real quick on this, see where we are. Follow us on Twitter at Sports Radio 106.5 and on Facebook at 106.5 The Ticket. And I've got polls in both places, or we have got polls in both places as we look for, your thoughts on the rap, the Jim Harbaugh / University of Michigan football rap put together by a rapper from the Bay Area named Bailey. Wasn't it Bailey, Jim?
Yes.
Is that his name, Bailey?
Yes.
By a guy named Bailey. I guess they did something similar for the 49ers when Harbaugh was the head coach in San Francisco.
Yeah, in 2011, and we played both of them, so basically they just exchanged the 49er words for the Michigan words, basically.
Yeah, I mean, admittedly, it's cool, and they put a really, really complete video together, spotlighting some of the great players in Michigan history, current players, coaches as well. It's really funny. It really is. The question is it cool, or is it just totally cheesy and embarrassing? Right now, 30% of the respondents on our Twitter feed say, awesome, I love it. 50% of them say, cheesy, have some class. 20% say a little bit of both. So right now, Michigan fans not really digging it as much. I got to admit, it kind of wore on me. It kind of wore on me in a good way. I mean, it really started to kind of, what's the word I'm looking for, Jim? I recognize the cheesy factor. I recognize that value in the whole thing. But I also kind of just find it catchy, and I kind of find it kind of cool. If you're a Michigan fan, you probably really like it.
Yeah, plus the video part. To me, the best part, as I said before, was is Harbaugh pimping the ride.
Excuse me. Yeah, and that's exactly right. Harbaugh in the convertible is awesome. But even just the rest of it, the regular part, where every time, they say, who's got it better than us, he stands and screams into the camera.
And he face, is, and if for those who haven't seen, his face gets as red as you're describing it.
You gotta watch it. The song is interesting enough, but you really have to watch the video. It's on both of our platforms.
That's your homework tonight, people.
To the field from the tailgate parties. Let's go blue. Yeah, the home team. This the big house, Michigan Wolverine. If it ain't real, it ain't right. If you can't take a hit, take a hike. The legendary Big Ten champ say it right. Bo Schembechler motivated the might. Force so strong, it's on Saturday nights. Howard, Woodson, Brady took it to heights. Let's ball. Hail to the victors, that's above all. I got one question. Tell them Harbaugh.
Tell him Harbaugh, and it's got Harbaugh just screaming, like you said, big red face right into the camera, and he is every bit as intense there as he is yelling a play from the sideline or yelling at a player or an official. It's really, you got to watch it. It's on our Facebook page and it's on our Twitter feed. Make sure you check it out.
Yeah, seriously, I'm not kidding. That's your homework tonight, everybody.
Yeah, you really do. And then vote when you see it there. Then vote and tell us whether or not you think it's awesome, cheesy, or a little bit of both. All right, I'm going to go back to the issue at hand as we talk about ways to make the National Football League better. Greeny and Buster Olney this morning took ESPN's question about the NFL and applied it to Major League Baseball. ESPN, well, it wasn't really a question by ESPN about the NFL. They actually said, here are 9 ways to make the NFL better, to improve the league by the year 2018. Greeny and Buster today, this morning on Mike and Mike, which should be called Mike and sometimes the other Mike, because one of them seems to always be missing. But
well, they got to do that now before football, I imagine.
Yeah, I would guess so. That's what they've got to do. It's amazing how often it happens. But at any rate, it's a great show, obviously, and they applied it to baseball and said, what ways, what suggestions would you have to improve Major League Baseball? And they took them from the fans, and they made their own list of 9, the starting 9, if you will, ways to improve baseball. We just stuck with the football idea because right now all I have is what ESPN suggested. So we got some suggestions now from listeners, and I find some of these very, very interesting. And, Jim, I'm going to throw a couple more suggestions out. Did we ever get yours? What was yours?
I got a couple. Real quick as I can. First, this isn't really a suggestion. It's a response to one of them. I like the idea, in theory, of the Super Bowl rematch one that you read last segment. The only problem I have with this is that messes with the fact that, if you will, the division alignment and therefore scheduling is almost perfect the way it is now. I like to tell people, I ask them, what's your favorite team? team and they tell me, I'm like, you could figure out 14 of your 16 team's opponents into infinity in the future if you want, because of the rotation, and that Super Bowl rematch idea would kind of mess that up. My two that I've come to, that I have in terms of rule change or something like that for me. One, we had a caller that mentioned the overtime thing, and you don't hear as much of course about it now because of the change they did made. But I'm with him, and you do the college thing. My only change is not the 25. You're the NFL, you're the pros, you start at the 40. Okay? You know, no 25 chip shots. You start at the 40 and gotta go 40 yards, or even an NFL kicker's 10 yards to even attempt the field goal. Otherwise, I think you do the college overtime thing, because then there would never be a tie, among other things, again.
So you would rather have that than play another quarter, yes, or a shortened quarter, and actually play the game the way the game was played for 60 minutes. You play it until there's a winner.
Yes, I would change it to this way, but like I said, that's why, because I thought about it, especially years ago when it was just the old school sudden death. And again, my thought was, well, you don't want to start the 25 like you do in college, back them up to the 40 instead. That's the only difference. Otherwise, you do it like college.
I get it, and it is better than the 25, but it still strikes me as a penalty kicks thing, you know, or a hockey shootout thing. I just want to play the game.
I don't disagree with that. You know, it will obviously affect people in that regard. But of course, you're not hearing as much about this since they made the little tweak they did a couple seasons ago. My other one, you guys brought up the preseason thing that drives everyone nuts, which means it's time to remind everybody, because I know I've mentioned this on these airwaves before, my preseason idea. You make it three games, one in your building, one a true road game, and then you organize with the team, because they schedule preseason games almost like colleges do out of conference games, right? In a way. And the third one is on a neutral site. Example, and I know people out there listening have heard me say this one before, Lions v. Browns at the Glass Bowl. Tell me that would not sell out in 5 minutes flat.
Yeah, it would, but a couple of things. One, when you only have three, you're giving up a fourth game of evaluating young players, free agent signees, guys that you're trying to decide if they have anything left, guys if they have anything at all. The coaches like having more opportunities to make their 53-man roster. So you're taking away one of the games that they're able to do that. And the second thing is you're also taking away a game of gate, a game of the revenue. You know, when you have the preseason game at your building. Now, like I said, I don't like the idea. When you have two at your place and two someplace else, you get two gates. And I don't like the idea of $80 a ticket. You drop that down, but you still let them make all the money in revenue from concessions and parking, et cetera, et cetera. And that is something I don't think they're going to want to give up by doing just one home game and then one at a neutral site.
Sadly, the money is the reason neither of our ideas on this preseason thing will probably happen. Because on the one hand, you're either losing some gate money by charging less, or in my idea, you're right, there'd be one whole game gone completely.
My other suggestion to this whole thing, and it goes to a little bit of what you said about scheduling, and the suggestion that I found is keep it in the division down the stretch. And I think that's very, very well said. And I'm going to give you an example. If you look at the Browns' 2016 schedule, their last three regular season games against the AFC East's Buffalo Bills, the AFC West's San Diego Chargers, and then the AFC Central's, or I'm sorry, the AFC North's, old school Central there, North's Pittsburgh Steelers. You look at the Lions. What do they have down the stretch? They have They have the Giants, NFC East, Cowboys, NFC East, and then finally Packers in the NFC Central, or NFC North. Again, the same old school thing. My point being, when it's the division is being decided in the division. Those last 3 weeks of the season, maybe even the last four, ought to be all intra-division games.
So you think it should be more than just week 17?
Yes.
Okay.
It should be Browns.
I can't really complain with that.
I mean, you know, in week 14, it should be Browns and Bengals. In week 15, it should be Browns and Ravens. In week 16, it should be Browns and Steelers. Or, I'm sorry, 15, 16, and 17. And vice versa for all those teams. The Lions and Packers and Vikings and Bears should be the last three games ever.